This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me every week, those of you who do. I really appreciate it. What's great about podcasts is that you can download them and listen to them anytime you want. You're not ball and chain to a radio and a schedule or anything like that. I want to thank those of you who email me with questions, comments. So let me dive right in here. I've got an email from Isabel. Isabel writes, "Dear Layla, thank you for your very informative podcasts." Thank you, Isabel, for listening. I'm glad you find them informative. Thank you. Isabel writes, "My sister has developed arthritis in her right hip. What would be the recommended protocol for arthritis in general, and more specifically for the hip? Are there any new superfoods or herbs that can help? Which supplements can effectively reduce pain so that Tylenol doesn't have to be taken? Thank you so much for your insights." Isabel, I'm sorry that your sister is suffering with arthritis in her right hip. I'm wondering, is this diagnosed as osteoarthritis? Is it really true arthritis? Also, does your sister have possibly rheumatoid arthritis, which is the autoimmune arthritis? We have to make that distinction for certain protocols, because autoimmunity is different from your regular wear and tear. If your sister is a runner, a jogger, I would strongly suggest she stop, that she not do any exercises that are jarring her joints. That could be a reason for arthritis in her right hip. I'm also curious, it's only in her right hip and not anywhere else. Did she have an accident or a fall? Does she have a bunion on her right foot? You know, this can shift the way we walk and kind of impair our gait a little bit, affecting our skeleton in the wrong way. If we have a bunion and it's difficult to walk, or some other problem with the foot, making it difficult to walk and can later cause other problems in the joints like the hip. I know I'm going very far with this, Isabel. Hang in there with me. Very, very important to be on an anti-inflammatory diet. Osteoarthritis, anyway, and rheumatoid arthritis, these are all born of inflammation. If it is indeed autoimmune, like a rheumatoid arthritis, just because it's happening in her right hip, I tend to think it's osteoarthritis, and it may have more to do with wear and tear. We definitely want to remove inflammatory foods, those very inflammatory vegetable oils that American Heart still keeps touting as healthy. I'm going to be touching on that now and again on these podcasts and in our newsletters. You want to remove, you know, any kind of sugar, refined carbohydrates, genetically modified foods, all of that. It's very, very important to eat a clean diet, eat organic wherever possible. The removal of pesticides, herbicides, all of this is helpful. Now, what I found to be beneficial amongst my patients with arthritis, whether it's osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, is the removal of the nightshade family of vegetables. Let me name them. I've talked about this here before, but it's important. tomatoes, white potatoes. Sweet potatoes are not a nightshade. Yams are not a nightshade. You can eat them. Eggplant is a nightshade. Peppers of all varieties. Red, green, yellow peppers, jalapenos, habaneros, you know, hot peppers, spicy red chili pepper flake, hot sauce, all of those. Sorry, people. Sorry, hot sauce lovers. But also the spices cayenne and paprika. Paprika, whether it's hot, whether it's sweet, whether it's smoked, paprika is still related to the pepper family. It's a nightshade, and it's best to remove it. Now, a caveat here. I've had people call me and say, well, I tried eliminating the nightshades from my diet for a couple of weeks, and it didn't work, so I started eating tomatoes again. Tomatoes are growing in my garden, and they're beautiful, and I've got these beautiful heirlooms. Guess what? I hate to break it to you, but if you're going to remove a certain food, do an elimination diet in an effort to remove inflammation. You know that inflammation did not occur overnight. It took some time. And as such, when we do an elimination diet, for example, the removal of nightshades for arthritis, it could take as much as 2 or 3 months before you may start to feel a difference or a lessening of your symptoms, a non-progression of your symptoms, and a rest in its progression. I will tell you examples. I have several, and these are elderly women. These are my anecdotes, who have been nightshade free for a few decades. I'm talking about 25, 35 years. And they have no arthritis symptoms. And I do have an anecdote of two women in particular who went on vacation and a little tomato sauce got in somewhere on the menu. And their arthritis symptoms came roaring back. And it took a good 2 or 3 weeks for those symptoms to subside. So you really have to hang in there with the nightshades. When we say no tomatoes, we don't just mean no tomatoes in your salad. I don't even want you having a drop of ketchup or a half a teaspoon of tomato paste in your big pot of soup or stew. No chili, nothing like that, because these are all tomato-based. No soups that are tomato-based, no stews that are tomato-based. So, Isabel, if this was the autoimmune arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, the main suspect here, besides the nightshades, again, the removal of nightshades is beneficial in any form of arthritis. So I would go ahead and do that. If it's rheumatoid arthritis, I would also remove gluten and dairy. But you know what? The removal of gluten and dairy is helpful for so many people. She could try removing those as well. But if it's definitely autoimmunity, gluten and dairy are the known suspects to trigger autoimmunity in any autoimmune condition like rheumatoid arthritis. So that can be helpful. Now, there are certain herbs, devil's claw, cat's claw. I think devil's claw more for arthritis. Taking things like Zyflamend can help with the inflammation, maybe a little bit with the pain, but you know, it's not like taking Tylenol. It's not like taking a pain reliever. I know part of the arsenal for any arthritis is to double up on fish oil. Definitely double up on fish oil. Take 4 soft gels a day, maybe 6. Make sure your sister's not on any additional blood thinning medication. We have to be careful there. So again, doing this with supervision is the way to go. Not just taking my general advice to you, Isabel, on this podcast. But let me go on. Devil's claw, upping the fish oil, taking the 2 superhero anti-inflammatories, curcumin, in the form of Mareva is helpful. Or Curcuplex, but I think Curcuplex is more geared toward inflammatory bowel disease. And Boswellia, which used to be called frankincense. I wonder if they call it frankincense anymore, but Boswellin and curcumin together with fish oil, powerful, powerful, powerful anti-inflammatory. So consider having your sister add those. And again, doing this under supervision is the best way. And if your sister is having to rely on Tylenol for pain, we want to take care of her liver. We know that Tylenol, acetaminophen, large amounts of Tylenol or frequent regular use of Tylenol for pain can eventually be hard on the liver, damage the liver. I would also recommend taking N-acetylcysteine, NAC, to help with liver, to keep the liver healthy. Taking NAC 500 milligrams twice a day, at the very least 1,000 milligrams twice a day, would be helpful. In addition, alpha-lipoic acid, this is all to take care of the liver now. When you're taking, pain relievers like Tylenol, alpha-lipoic acid, maybe the addition of milk thistle. But again, we have to be careful with milk thistle. If your sister's on certain prescription medications, milk thistle may interfere. Again, the reason for doing this in the form of a consult with supervision is the most intelligent way to do it. And that is part of intelligent medicine. So, Isabel, I hope this is helpful. I hope your sister feels better soon. And I would really recommend she take up her case with a qualified practitioner, whether it's a physician, well-trained in integrative medicine, an integrative nutritionist such as myself or anyone else in this country. And I thank you very, very much for your email. Thank you for listening. Now, moving on, I want to talk to you, and this comes courtesy of World Health Net. I like some of their articles here, and I want to share them with you. Things that are sure to slow down your metabolism. Let me talk about that. So, every cell in our body plays a role in energy metabolism, the process of turning the food you eat into energy that keeps heart beating, lungs pumping, muscles moving. And the faster our resting metabolic rate, the more calories we burn. And just like there are ways to speed it up, i.e. strength training, by increasing muscle mass, exercise, certain habits can actually hit the brakes on your calorie churning engine. Here are some things that are sure to slow down your metabolism. Eating inconsistently at odd times from day to day. A study was done in 2012 at Hebrew University, a mouse study. These mice were fed high-fat food sporadically. They gained more weight than mice that ate a similar diet on a regular schedule. And researchers suspect that eating at the same times every day trains the body to burn calories between meals. Eat frequent, consistently sized meals to avoid binges and feel happier. You know, that's another thing. When we're not having regular meal times and we allow ourselves to get so hungry that now we're hangry, you know, the combo of hungry and angry, now we've got total hypoglycemia, total blood sugar, low blood sugar hunger. We can't get enough food on our fork and we are sure to overeat at the next meal. So by eating inconsistently or at odd times from day to day, not having regular meal times, this can spell disaster for our metabolism because we will wind up eating more calories than we otherwise would because now we've gotten too hungry. Very, very important. So, pesticides, organochlorines, chemicals and pesticides can interfere with your body's energy burning processes. If you've read Suzanne Summers' book, Toxic, these toxins, they hang out in our fat cells. That's where they hang out. So eating pesticide-laden food, produce, meat, any of that, these pesticides then go and hang out in our fat cells. And then when we embark on a weight loss plan and burn up our fat or get into a fat-burning metabolism, we're exposing ourselves to all these pesticides. You want to take beneficial antioxidants. Anyway, pesticides, they can make our energy burning process, making it harder to lose weight, slowing it down. Researchers found that dieters who ate the most toxins experienced a greater than normal dip in metabolism and had a harder time losing weight. Problems with the thyroid gland are more common among women than men. There is growing evidence for a link between exposure to pesticide and thyroid problems. This is very interesting. Those pesticides are being uptaken by the thyroid gland instead of iodine, which is a very necessary mineral. So that iodine is being displaced by these pesticides. So opt for organic produce as often as you can. Dietary toxins and processed foods, MSG, monosodium glutamate, harmful fatty acids like factory-made trans fats, and vegetable oils. Harmful fatty acids, toxic preservatives, and emulsifiers weaken the thyroid, reducing metabolism up to 70% in the long term. This may be a reason why the thyroid dysfunction has become more and more common. I see this often in my practice. So, a study done on mice with sustained exposure to chemical preservatives develop significant abdominal weight gain, early insulin resistance, and type 2 diabetes, reducing exposure to dietary toxins, sugar, refined carbs, and processed foods can keep our metabolism sharp. Another important factor, when we don't get enough sleep. A 2012 study found that people who sleep less move less the next day. We're tired. We don't feel like going to the gym, which means they burn fewer calories, but things get worse. Sleep deprivation actually reduces the amount of energy your body uses at rest. Interesting. This is according to German and Swedish researchers. Stay away from alcohol, fatty foods, coffee, and chocolate at least 2 hours before bedtime. Pharmaceuticals. The most popular medications in the world, including antacids and drugs for diabetes, cholesterol, high blood pressure, these all interfere with critical metabolic processes, which dramatically reduce energy expenditure. Think about your beta blockers and things. These are like oral pacemakers. It's hard to rev your metabolism. Eating too little. When you skimp on calories, your body switches into starvation mode. That's why a low-calorie diet is never the answer for weight loss. I am not a fan of low-calorie dieting. How long do you want to go hungry anyway? So when you skimp on calories, we go into starvation mode, slows the metabolic rate to conserve the fuel that it has. You will never increase your metabolism by dramatically curbing your calorie intake. Eat often. And sensibly to match your energy requirements. Lacking protein. When Mother Nature sees there isn't enough protein around, she will slow down your metabolism. Make sure protein is a component in every meal. You don't need a large amount. It assists your body in maintaining lean muscle. Go to the gym, work out, but then you need some protein to get you into an anabolic state of building and repairing that muscle that you just exercised. Add a serving, like 3 ounces of fish, a couple of tablespoons of nuts. Research shows that protein can up post-meal calorie burn by as much as 35%. You're missing crucial vitamin D. It's essential for preserving metabolism, revving muscle tissue. Unfortunately, researchers estimate that 96% of Americans over age 50 don't get enough through their diet. It's hard to get it through the diet. We need it from sunlight. So, you get some in salmon, but not a whole lot. Better yet, exposing your full torso to the sun for several minutes is equivalent to approximately 10,000 IU. Sitting for too long, it takes only 20 minutes in any fixed position to inhibit your metabolism. You want to learn to fidget a little. That might help. So, a study led by the University of Leicester in association with colleagues at Loughborough University had discovered that sitting for long periods increases your risk of diabetes, heart disease, and death regardless of physical activity. Make it a point to get up from your desk and move around every 20 minutes or so. Disrupting your circadian rhythms. Your internal clock directly controls the part of your cells that keeps your metabolism chugging along. But when we disrupt our circadian rhythms by crossing time zones, for instance, your cells don't function the same way they should, and your metabolism can suffer. According to researchers at the Center for Epigenetics and Metabolism at the University of California, Irvine, scientists at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies showed that two cellular switches found on the nucleus of the mouse cell are essential for maintaining normal sleeping and eating cycles and for metabolism of nutrients from food. And finally, dehydration. A lot of us are walking around in a kind of low dehydration state, or a little bit of dehydration is what I mean to say. You need to sip enough water all day long and get the 6 to 8 glasses in you. And on hot days, like today, you want more. And you want an additional glass of water for every cup of coffee or any caffeinated beverage you're drinking. All of your body's cellular processes, including metabolism, depend on water. If you're dehydrated, you could burn 2% fewer calories, according to researchers at the University of Utah. So these are all things that could slow down your metabolism. Everybody, beware. Sip water all day long, have regular meal times, get enough vitamin D, get your sleep, eat organic, get away from pesticides and all of that. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.